brought to you by Penguin.
How to eat and still lose weight. A science-backed guide to nutrition and health by Andrew Jenkinson. Read by John Sackville. Prologue. The new fuel. Imagine that a new fuel has been developed that can be used instead of petrol in your car. The new fuel is much cheaper than petrol and seems to work just as well. The day-to-day performance of your car appears unaffected. The only issue is that the new fuel doesn't last for as long as petrol. But despite the need to refuel more frequently, it is still much more cost-effective per mile. The new fuel immediately becomes popular. Because the new fuel is so cheap, the producers are able to offer an additional reward to buyers. A small gift that makes the car owner happy is provided at the pump every time they fill up. Clever advertising by the new fuel companies also suggests other benefits of using it. The advertising works, and new fuel users feel good when they fill up their cars. As well as giving you a satisfying feeling when you refuel, the advertising campaigns start to make it feel normal to fill up more frequently. Billboards and TV ads appear of happy, beautiful people going to new fuel stations daily and feeling great when they do this, changing the behaviour of car drivers. It is no longer considered normal to fill up with petrol every week or so. Instead, the required daily refill of the cheap new fuel becomes normal behaviour. To make things easier, new fuel stations become available every few miles, and your gas tank can be filled up in a matter of seconds through modern high-pressure pumps. Some companies offer to adapt your car so that it can hold much more of the new fuel. Larger gas tanks are added to the outsides of cars, bulking up the doors and trunks. Although this makes driving more hazardous and slow, it catches on. Within a few years, a third of the cars on the road have been adapted so that they dwarf standard cars. And so, a whole industry around the new fuel emerges, encouraging its use, reassuring us that it is safe, changing our refueling behaviour and adapting our cars to have massive fuel tanks. But if you looked under the bonnet of your car and really examined its inner workings, you would realise that it was never really designed to run on the new fuel. You would see that the new fuel damages the engine, meaning it is less powerful and needs even more new fuel to perform. The fuel seeps out of the tanks into the body of the car, accelerating corrosion and rust and aging the car prematurely. It interferes with the electronics, meaning the massive storage tanks always appear nearly empty on the fuel gauge. After a few years of use, the engine splutters and behaves erratically. The massive new fuel tanks make the car unstable and unsafe to drive. It dies early. The new foods. Just like cars, humans need fuel to survive and move. Fuel in the form of food. Over the last few decades, new types of human foods have emerged. Processed foods, made up primarily of sugar, refined carbohydrates such as wheat, vegetable oils, and artificial flavourings and colourings, now dominate the nutritional options available to us. These foods are mass-produced in factories, marketed aggressively and packaged colourfully. They are addictive to humans and highly profitable for the food industry. They appear, over the short term, to be safe. Our bodies can easily run on them. And just like in the new fuel story, these new foods are cheap, they make us feel good, and we are encouraged by advertising to eat them more frequently. But just like in the car analogy, the new foods cause major dysfunction in how our bodies work. This book will lift the lid on our own human bonnet, explaining how the tasty, addictive new foods around us disrupt our bodies and our minds. We'll learn how we are not designed to run on them, and how they cause our bodies to misfire and our brains.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?